your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're switching a little bit away from more of the macro comments that we got from Mark Chandler in the first couple segments here as we are chatting with Jayant Bhandari, private investor, also consultant to a lot of well-known larger investors in the resource space. Now, Jayant, we're going to focus on resource, more precious metals investing. A couple big themes here that we're going to talk about. The first one being the discrepancy between investing in gold versus the gold stocks, because I've read a lot of articles about how gold has held up very well compared to the other markets, compared to most other stocks during this pullback, even though gold is down about 20% from its peak earlier this year. If you go from the beginning of the year, not down as much because of that run that it had really on the back of the start of that war in Ukraine. The problem is the stocks, they've gotten crushed with all the other stocks. You can even make the argument that some of the stocks have outperformed to the downside, unfortunately. But overall, there is a very different narrative between investing in gold versus gold stocks. You can even carry that over to silver and silver stocks. Jayant, how do you separate the two, understanding that we are talking to a lot of investors that probably hold a little bit of gold and also quite a few gold stocks?
Cody, thanks for having me. I look at gold mining companies and gold as completely different things. They have, in my mind, virtually no relationship. And the reason is that gold is a commodity, whereas gold mining companies are businesses. And what happens usually is that when gold price goes up, the cost of making gold often tends to go up faster, which means that the profit actually gets squeezed when gold price goes up. Now, this does not always happen, but I have often seen that happening. When gold price goes up, oil price goes up, the price of steel goes up, the cost of workers goes up, go up, and as a result, the profit gets squeezed. So you should look at these two things as completely different ways of protecting or investing your money, but you should not conflate gold mining with gold in any way whatsoever.
Jayant, I think that's such an important point for people to resonate with, because when we hear people talk or when we see people leave comments on a lot of the different forums and even some of the guests we have on, they say, well, you want to be invested against inflation, so you want to hold gold and gold stocks, or, you know, you want to be betting on the end of the US dollar, so you want to be in gold and gold stocks. But really, to your point, gold is something that's been around since the earth was formed, and it's on the elemental table, a periodic table. But when you look at the mining stocks, they are businesses, they do have margins, they are supposed to operate at a profit. I guess I'd love you to unpack it a little further for the kind of companies you look at and the kind of management teams you look at, because a lot of these companies seem to only know how to burn money, but not actually how to create value in their market cap. Or they know how to burn money even as a producer, but they're not able to produce at a profit. So how do you separate the good companies from the bad?
So, Shad, when I started working in the sector 17 years back, the Venture Exchange Index was about 2,600. Today, it's less than 600, which means that even in nominal terms, I would have lost 80% of my value had I invested in what Rick Rule calls the consolidated junior sector. In real terms, I would have lost more than 90% of my value. The biggest culprit here is actually the investors. They invest in these mining companies as if they were investing in the commodities, and they have these fancy views on what the gold price should be ideally be in the near future. Some people quote $50,000 per ounce as gold price, and that's absolutely outrageous. Driven by this greed and lust, what these people do is that they oversupply the mining industry with money. And because the cost of capital gets seriously reduced because of this oversupply of money, and I know, Shad, that often people say that there's shortage of money for capital in the mining industry, but that's a completely erroneous statement. Money goes where it gets the most respect. the cost of capital for the mining industry is so low because of oversupply of money that we end up investing in unprofitable mines. I go through financial accounts of companies after companies, and I'm often shocked when I see a profit appearing in a mining company's profit and loss account because they are habitual of making losses. You should never have invested in a lot of those projects. And because you invested in those projects, you actually contributed to oversupplying the market with those commodities, leading the commodity prices to fall. So this is just such a vicious cycle for the investors that they oversupply the money, anticipating higher commodity prices, but they're contributing to destroying the commodity pricing. So if they really believe in a certain commodity, they should just buy that commodity. And by buying that commodity, they would help increase the price of that commodity. And if they invest in businesses, they should ask for a very nice return on their investment. I would say at least 20% a year, because mining commodity pricing are so volatile, you have to make sure that you invest for a 20% profit so that your risks are covered as well, because commodity prices can fall. If you take rational approaches for when you invest in businesses, which is in mining, or when you invest in commodities, you would actually help the market be less volatile than it is. But also by oversupplying the mining companies with money, what investors do is that they turn a blind eye to the personalities of the management, and they attract a lot of bad kind of managements, people who are scammers, people who don't understand value creation. And I think that's why I think there's a higher reason for a rational approach to investing.
Giant, this brings up a whole other question of, if you just focus on gold and even to a certain extent silver, do we even need to mine more gold or more silver? Quite frankly, gold isn't getting used. Most gold that has been mined is above ground. Silver at least has a bit of that industrial component, so that's why I said to a lesser extent. But when it comes to gold, should we even be bothering mining any more gold?
Well, in a real world, I can't stop mining companies to continue mining. But what I can certainly do is to make sure I only give my money to companies that assure me that they can generate a 20% return on the money that I give them using the current gold price. Now, if I use that yardstick, most projects are unprofitable. They are non-mineable projects. So automatically, in a rational environment, most of this mining would come to an end, or gold price would rise enough to justify mining those projects. So indirectly, my answer is yes to you, but because I can't stop, turn off mining overnight, or I have no control over who mines for what, my suggestion is that people should be expecting a return on capital at least 20% per year without having fancy views on the future of gold prices. So if gold price is today 1600, your invested money should be able to return you 20% of that money every year into the future.
Well, Giant, I think you raise an interesting point there, because it would be easier to go through the producing companies and look for the ones with the best margins, whatever metal it is, whether it's gold or silver or copper, and look for the companies that can actually produce and still earn a profit or that 20% margin, even if metals prices pulled back some. But when you're looking at development stories, you can look at their economic studies. But as we know, most economic studies are marketing pieces, and they don't really address most of the problems those mines have when they go into production. And even further down the food chain, when you look at things like exploring companies and drill plays and prospect generators, they're not earning any revenues. The only thing they do is burn money. So how should people approach the earlier stage pre-revenue companies, since they don't earn any profits?
You are 100% correct, Shad. It's very difficult to understand what would happen to these smaller companies, the non-mining companies, because you know, they can provide you figures which might not turn out to be true figures when those projects actually go into production. So it's a very risky exercise, and that's why I pay an enormous attention to the personalities, the quality of management. They should be not just reasonably honest people. They should also be extremely, extremely value-conscious people. Those management should be constantly thinking that when they put a dollar into the ground, they should be generating a value of $1.20 for me in terms of share price. If they can't do it, they should actually stop investing. So we really need very disciplined management that is honest and extremely value conscious. And my guess is that only about 5 to 10% of CEOs meet that criteria. And even then, I'm consistently proven wrong when I think back into who I trusted and who turned out to be a money waster.
So, John, I'll play a little defense for some of these CEOs because, quite frankly, look, these markets can swing quite violently. And it was two and a half years ago that ounces in the ground were getting value. So these companies could justify spending money on exploration. Now, though, ounces in the ground aren't getting much value, which means spending money on exploration is not creating value for the company. How do you take these swings, understanding that, look, sometimes ounces in the ground, highly valued, sometimes they don't carry any value, but you do need to do something as a company to try to move a project forward?
Yeah, and that's where, the biggest culprit is not the management, because they are there to do what investors ask them to do. The biggest culprit is the investors. A lot of people who invest in the junior mining industry are extraordinarily speculative, or I would say irrationally speculative. I talk with people and they look at companies and say, hey, I'm going to price this based on $15,000 per dollar per ounce of gold. Now, that is an absolutely outrageous and a stupid starting point. Now, there is actually gold everywhere. Even if you pick up a piece of rock from the ground randomly, there is some gold in there. So it is not that there's no gold there. It has to be economic value. So you have to be extremely cautious about ounces in the ground, because most ounces in the ground have no value. There is a massive amount of gold in every glass of water. There's gold in ocean, but you have to be concerned about the economic value of that gold in that water and ground, because you should be able to economically exploit it.
Well, John, just one other question that comes to mind in this discussion is, are there just too many dang mining companies? Because when you look at the producers, there's a dozen majors, there's probably four dozen mid-tiers, there's another 4 to 5 dozen smaller producers, there's probably 100 to 200 development stage companies just in gold. And then in the exploration side, there's almost 1,000 explorers. So do we need to see more M&A and consolidation in the space, or are there just too many companies and some of them need to go extinct?
There are too many projects. The production of commodities should fall. When I started working in the industry, Shad, I was surprised that most brokers were pricing gold mining companies at NPV 0%, and then using a target price which was 3 times the NPV, and then even to calculate NPV, they were using gold price that was 20 or 30% higher than the spot gold price. So they were their target prices were something like 5 or 6 times the discounted cash flow, which was absolutely crazy and irrational to me. And when I started working in the industry, I called up all these analysts asking them why they should be using such crazy target prices. And the response of every single of those was that that's how the market values these companies. Now, my job as an analyst is not how the market would be valuing these companies, but how the market should be valuing these companies. But that's not what analysts used to do and probably don't do even today. You know, interesting thing is to watch the performance of, let's say, copper ETF and copper price. And I'm in front of me is what trades at COPX, which is a copper ETF, with a CPR, which is copper, in the warehouse. And there is virtually 100% correlation over the last 5 years. So what you see is that even in copper companies where people are more yield conscious, there has been virtually no yield over the last 5 years. You have merely performed what copper has done in these years. So my conclusion looking at these such graphs is that people have overinvested in mining companies. They should not have done that. And because they are sort of gullible in the sense that they want management to lie to them so that they can invest their money in these companies. And I think overall, what investors should do is that pull back their money, reduce their supply of cash to the companies, and companies then will be forced to be value conscious and they will be forced to invest for in projects that actually generate a proper cash flow, a proper return on your investment.
So, Giant, overall, how do you view the sector? Doesn't sound like we're overly confident or enticed by a lot of these management teams, but look, stocks have been washed out. We've gotten a little rebound over the last week or so. The gold price technically broke down but has recovered. We're closing the month and the quarter and the week all at the same time. What's your assessment of the overall health of the, let's say, precious metals sector?
Okay, so Corey, I don't want to act over smart in whatever I have said. I have lost probably 60 to 70% of my invested value over the last few years. So I have lost a lot of money, but overall, I have done extremely well, keeping my eyes on value rather than on greed. So I think as it stands today, a lot of companies are extremely cheap. Even some of the garbage companies are cheap today just because there is a bear market in existence today. And in the bear market, people just sell everything. In a bull market, people buy everything. So in a bull market, everything, even the crappy companies become expensive. And in a bear market, even good companies become very cheap. And what I see in front of me is are a lot of good companies that are cheap. I'm happy to invest in those companies, hoping that despite the fact that I have lost 60, 70% of my money over the last few years, I should be able to make more than 300% or a lot more to make up for all the losses and then again make good money out of my investments.
So real quick, Giant, are you investing now? Are you waiting for even lower prices?
I am always investing whenever I see value, although I unhesitatingly sell whatever I think has lost its upside. And this is a lesson that someone I know well, Adrian Day, told me about, that I should not be sitting on losses thinking that I should sell those companies only when my share prices recover to what I bought them at. If I think the value upside is no longer there, I should just unhesitatingly sell, which is what I have started doing over the last few months.
Yeah, not a bad time right now to rebalance your portfolio because everything is cheap, but get out of those companies that just don't have the prospects, don't have the economic ounces in the ground. There's a number of qualities that you can point to for stocks that I think you should be in if you want to be in, and still a number of stocks that you probably should just be ignoring. Giant, thank you, as always, for your time. Very interesting conversation. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.